Welcome to Stumbling Through Work, where educators figure shit out. I'm your host, Jared Huff, and I'm here to explore and share the complexities of our work and let you know you are not alone. Before we start, though, please follow this podcast and share episodes with others. You can find me on my website, www.jaredhuff.com, where you can find links to my social media and where I share information and tips for educators. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Hey team, welcome to another episode of Stumbling Through Work, where educators figure shit out. This week, I'm actually beginning evaluations for my staff, so I figured this would be a great topic for this week's episode. Staff evaluations are, as I see them, they're a tool, not a punishment. If you are using evaluations as a weapon, you are definitely using it wrong. Evaluations should, they should frame what the staff member is doing well, but also what they're not doing well. I think sometimes in evaluations, we tend to focus on what that person is not doing well and harp on it. And that's how we end up using it as a negative tool or as a weapon, where we also need to focus on what they are doing well. Within the part that they're not doing well is not just about telling them, oh, you're not doing this well. That's just listing a problem, but it's about giving them a solution, how to fix it, what you're going to do, coming up with some form of a plan. That's the point of an evaluation. That's how I do evaluations. Now, evaluation should have two components. Or let me say it this way. You should do two different evaluations. There should be, of course, you as a supervisor, you as the director, whatever, you know, administrative boss role that you may have, you're always going to do one for your staff. But I always give my evaluation to the staff member being evaluated and have them do one too. That way you can have a meeting of the minds to say, okay, this is what I see. Let me see what you see. I always use a 1 through 5 scale, with 5 being the highest, 1 being, you know, the absolute worst. You're trash at that point. I rarely / never give out 5s, because 5s are, you know, heaven blessings. They are, you should be teaching this at conferences. You are a professional. I don't even give myself 5s for anything. The only time I ever give out a 5 usually is if you're in compliance with licensing. Either you're in compliance or you're not. So you get a 1 or 5. There's no, well, you're partial. I don't do that. Either you are or you're not. You pick one or the other. That's the only time I ever give out 5s. I even normally give myself 2s or 3s because I think I'm the absolute worst at what I do, because I feel like I'm just stumbling through work. But true story, I once had this director, and I cannot make this up. I had this director that I was actually trying to fire her ass. I'm not even going to lie, but I digress. That's a conversation for another day. But part of the termination process was actually going through to see was she savable. So I had her do a self-evaluation, and I sent it to her and asked her to complete it, send it back to me, email it to me, and then I did mine. Well, the night before I was going to her school, I said, you know, send it to me. She sent it to me that night. So I'm sitting on the couch, you know, watching TV, watching, you know, 911, whatever it is I'm watching, I don't know. And she sends me the evaluation, and I opened it. And I said, okay. She gave herself 5s across the board. Like, she was superior. Everything was 5. I mean, she wasn't even like a form of humility. She didn't even give herself like a 2, a 3, a 4 up in there. She's like, nah, I'm killing it in these streets and you're going to get these 5s. And I was like, wow. So, of course, I found it amusing to myself and chuckled. So the next day when I was like, okay, I get to your school. So bringing her office, I said, okay, let's go over your evaluations. This is my evaluation and I have yours. And then the look on her face to see all those 2s and 3s and occasional 1s and maybe 1, 4 and not a 5. And I explained, you know, what my grading, how I seen, what I seen, and explained it to her. And she said, oh, I feel like I need to go back and reevaluate myself. Yeah, you kind of think. it was an experience for her. It was a little bit of humbling because she thought she was hot shit, but she wasn't. And we started the process of trying to correct where she was at. I was actually new to the job, so, you know, coming in new staff member, you know, new supervisor with people trying to evaluate them. And we know how that can go, and they're no longer with us as today. But, you know, can't say that I didn't try. But I will say that with staff evaluations, even for teacher evaluations and observations, they should be the exact same. They should be tools to help them. The tools are to assist and encourage, not to punish or demean. Sitting down with them and saying, this is what I see that you're doing well, like, keep it up. But this is where you're at right now, and this is a hurdle for you, and this isn't where you need to be at. Let's figure out how we can get you to where you need to go. And like I said earlier, it's about creating some form of a plan. I love a coaching plan. I break it down. I break down kind of the who, what, when, where, why, how, like everything that I want to see, specifically what I want to see, how I want to see it within a time frame. I use a really cool plan that I kind of created that helps articulate what is going to happen and what my expectations are. That's part of the evaluation process. It's about helping them get better. But I'm not just going to be a person that just, even if I don't like you, I could sit here and say, I can't stand so-and-so. And I have several staff that I feel like that about. I will still want you to be better and be the best educator that you can be. Don't be that boss where you supervise by punishment and demeaning. Like, please don't do that. If you know anyone who punishes, if you know anyone that needs to hear this message, please send it to them. Send them this episode so that they can hear how not to do this to people, because we want to motivate and not stifle. And we'll be right back. We all want our schools or programs to be the best. And although every school is different, all successful programs have the same fundamentals. Best Practices for High Quality Preschool, After School, and Enrichment Programs by Jarek Huff share standards to foster a high quality program. These tips will help you put your best service forward, focusing on your children, families, and communities. Best Practices for High Quality Preschool, After School, and Enrichment Programs by Jarek Huff is available on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. Welcome back. I hate when staff has conflict of interest. It drives me crazy. There are a few ways you can have a conflict of interest. One, for me as an employee, is someone that, you know, obviously is working somewhere else and has another job, especially if it's in the same field. I have some staff that, you know, works at our school, then chooses to work at another school later on, or vice versa. They may have a later shift with us, so they work somewhere else in the morning. And let me just say, I am not hating on you getting your coins. I'm not. Get all the money in the world. Get all the coins. Get everything that you need to live the life that you want to live. I encourage it. I myself am a person that used to have 3 and 4 jobs. I totally get it. Do what you got to do. Live how you want to live. So I just want to start off by saying that. But my issue comes when it starts to have an issue with me or within my job, within my company. That's where my issue is. Let me tell you. So I was at a school one time and the phone rang and someone picked it up. So I'm listening. I'm ear hustling. That's what I do. I don't say a lot when I'm at schools. Usually I just kind of just listen and observe and then I give my feedback later. But when I heard this, I had to say something. So I'm hearing the conversation like, okay, I see. Okay. Well, let me see what I can do. Okay. Yep. Something like that in the conversation. I got the phone. So, of course, you know, I'm going to ask some questions because it was a weird conversation that I overheard. You know, I was like, that was weird. Who was that? Told me who it was. I said, oh, they're not coming in. They're like, oh, well, they're at their other job. And they were asking, could they come in late? Something like that. I was like, Oop, nope, we're not doing it. Nope. I said, let me tell you something. Not only is this just tacky, it's also in our handbook that you should not have any form of a conflict of interest when it comes to work. We are your first priority. In my mind, it is anyway. Because my thing is, you came to us first. You came to us first, and then you decided to get another job. This was already set in stone. Your schedule is set in stone. Do not come back and say, well, I need to be late or I need to leave early or something like that. No, 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 no. We're not doing that. If we get to that point, then you just need to make a choice. You have to make a choice. That simple. You're going to be late there or you're going to come early. I don't care what your choice is. Just make a choice. If it's us, cool. If it's not, then we're going to move on. Move on, Martha. Move on. And I'm just all in the conversation. I'm saying, like, afterwards, I'm just like, you really did that? Nah, we're not playing that game. We're not doing that. But the thing is, when people work at other schools or other programs, don't be telling them my business. Don't do that. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to ask you their business, and I'm going to do it in a way that's subtle so you don't realize it. I'm gonna be like, oh, how's it going at your other job? Oh, it's fine. Great. Oh, that's good. Like, how many people over there? I'm going to ask subtle questions because I want to know, but you better not tell shit about what's going on over here. Let me just be clear about that. You don't tell, don't run and tell none of our business over there, but I will ask you about yours. But seriously, all jokes aside, do not take anything that we do, any business, nothing like that. Don't even suggest I just work. That's how I would love for it to be. And I will say too, I'm really not going to ask that many probing questions because I wouldn't want someone to do that to us. I just ask general, you know, basic questions. But also, another way of a conflict of interest is when teachers babysit for parents. I hate that. Oh, it's low-key messy. It always sounds innocent. Let me tell you two situations that have happened. I cannot make this up. One, this dad, y'all, I cannot make this up. This dad asked one of the teachers to babysit. I'm finding this out as the situation unfolded. The dad asked the teacher, and she was a younger one, for her information because he wanted her to babysit. Well, come to find out, they were texting each other, innocent conversation about when they were coming over, blah, 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 blah. Well, dad ended up being a, you know, an all-around person when it came to his wife. And the wife thought that, you know, it was a situation happening with the teacher, so she came in hot, like, oh, and one of your teachers is out here talking to my husband. We're like, whoa, 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 what is going on? So unfortunately, I had to take my time to figure out what was going on. And the teacher honestly was just like, I was just thought they wanted me to babysit. The dad was a scoundrel, so it is what it is. He probably had ulterior motives. But keep that. See, this is that drama that I don't need. Keep that shit out of my building right there. I want it to be like, lady, handle your man. But once again, I digress. It has nothing to do with me. But that's an example of what happens when babysitting for families and parents. I don't like it. Another situation happened a couple weeks ago where we were trying to figure out why this family knew just random stuff. Like, oh, so-and-so's not here again today. They still sick. Now, when the director told me this, I was like, huh? It just came up in conversation. And I thought it was really weird. And I was like, how does she know? Like, We just thought it was weird. That's why she brought it to me. So a little bit of investigation work. Y'all know I will play Carmen Sandiego. Where's Waldo? Come to find out, one of the teachers was babysitting, and then the parent would ask the teacher questions. And the teacher felt like they had to comply because you're sitting in their house, and they kind of have you cornered in a way. And they're like, so I noticed so-and-so wasn't at work today. Is everything okay? And of course, that person's like, well, yeah, they're just sick today, or they're just off, or, you know, they're answering the question. But see, for that parent, it's like, oh, I can ask all the questions now because you're sitting up in my house and I'm paying you. Then next thing you know, the teacher's like, well, so-and-so's not here and they got a problem with so-and-so. Like, just started airing out everybody's business in these streets. Like, and she goes, she asked me questions, so I'm answering. I was like, see, this is why I don't like people when they babysit for staff parents. And I just think it's tacky. Do not do it. We actually put it's not a policy, it's just a, because we can't control what you do outside of us, just a statement about how it's frowned upon for these exact reasons to do it. So I'm going to make you feel bad about doing it because I know what it can entail and how quickly it can turn. Ask yourself, do you or any of your staff find themselves in a conflict of interest situation? It's definitely an uncomfortable conversation to have with your staff, but you actually do need to have it so there's a clear understanding of what your expectations are for them having this job. Because like I said, you can't control what people do outside of your work. You can only control what happens in the inside. And in the inside, you're not going to be calling off, you're not going to be calling in trying to, you know, leave early or late to work, whatever it may be. We're not doing this here. And I'm going to just let you know, I don't approve of you, you know, babysitting or whatever it may be, but that's just my opinion. People are going to do what they want to do. But if you found yourself, if you know someone that's been in this situation or going through this situation, also send them this episode because they need to get a hold of that real quick. I love sharing information with educators and program administrators. I have had so many successes, but also so many failures in my education tenure. I want leaders to know what not to do, but better than that, what to do. So, I decided to write a helpful guide, Best Practices for Center, Program, and Activity Directors. It's short and to the point. It's a compass to guide education leaders. These best practices will give you a foundation to lead your school, program, or organization. You can find Best Practices for Center, Program, and Activity Directors by Jer Cuff on Amazon or Amazon Kindle. This week, please think about any tools of evaluation that you're going to use for your staff. Is it actually helpful? How are you preparing them for success? How are you making them grow? Or are you using it just to say, you're wrong, you did this wrong, and it's bad? Please don't be that staff member, like I said, that do that. Remember, we want to motivate, not stifle. And think about any conflict of interest that you or any of your staff may have. Nip that in the bud so that it's clear and keep it moving. And with that being said, see you all later. That's it for today. If you like this episode, it would mean so much to me if you left a rating, review, and subscribe to the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can visit my website, which is in the show notes, to contact me. And I hope you have a great rest of your week and speak to you all soon.